Well, let's just spend a moment in prayer. Let's pray. Our loving God and Father, we thank you that we can sing these hymns of praise of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for that amazing plan of salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that after your people had waited so very long, you came in fulfillment of all that God had said. And Lord, we want to thank you that it was because you loved us, because you desired to save us from our sins, to give us new life in yourself, that one day we should be forever with you, Amen. Part and parcel, our citizens of your kingdom. Oh, Lord our God, we worship and we praise you. And we ask you, Lord, that as we now turn to your word and consider it, Lord, words that are very well known, Lord, words that are often repeated, and maybe, Lord, we've uttered these words time and time again without really sitting down and seriously thinking about these things. We ask, O Lord, that you will therefore, by your Spirit, take hold of your word and maybe, Lord, for the first time, really apply the significance of your word to our hearts and our lives, that you might change us for time and for eternity. Oh, Lord, please have mercy. Show your love. Reveal your grace to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, this passage that you have here in Luke's Gospel in chapter 2 is a very well-known passage. Poets and artists have tried to draw pictures and conspire how wonderful it is. Commentators have written volumes on it. Yes, if you're interested, you're very welcome to read them all. Not only that, but preachers have uttered thousands of words about these verses over the many years since the Lord Jesus came into this world. It was a common scene. Nothing unusual. And yet, suddenly, this scene became very significant and spectacular, because the divine had come down to earth. First of all, that night, Christ had been born there in the manger, there in Bethlehem. And now, out on the hills around Bethlehem, suddenly an angel of the Lord appears. And then the angelic hosts from heaven proclaiming the glory of God. And one of the things that the angel said was this: I bring you, verse 10, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Three things: good news or good tidings, great joy, and global spread. Global spread. How amazing. Well, what was the good news? Well, the good news is there for us in verse 11. What do the angels say? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. A child has been born. Well, so what? On any particular night throughout the year, lots of babies are very often born. I don't know whether the East Anglian did it this year, but very often they always had on Boxing Day, or whenever it came out, pictures of little ones that were born on Christmas Day. And then you go into the new year, and lo and behold, those that were born on New Year's Day, there's their picture in the newspaper. Yeah, I mean, babies are born throughout the day and throughout the night, aren't they? Wherever you go. But hang on a minute. This one is special. Why? Because this one has been promised from of old. You only have to turn, for example, to Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son not a daughter, a son is given. And lo and behold, Micah 5:2, that son will be born in Bethlehem. And so it was, just as God promised. You know, dear friends, one of the first things we learn here is this, that God is a God who keeps his word. He keeps his promise. Yes, the Lord's people then, they had to wait thousands of years. But nonetheless, in God's perfect time, this child was born. Friends, God may have given to you a promise, maybe years ago, and you haven't seen the fulfillment of that promise. And maybe the old evil one has come along and he has said to you, "Ah, forget it. God's forgotten about you. Oh, don't worry. It won't happen. It hasn't happened yet, has it?" No, it won't happen. Listen, dear friends, if God has made a promise to you, though you might have to wait for it, it will certainly come. But it will come not in your time and my time. It'll come in his time. And I can assure you of this. The word of God declares, and many of us have experienced, that when God acts, he always acts at the perfect time, the right time. And you will see it, and you will glorify his wonderful name. And so, the waiting is now over. Christ has come. And even Simeon there, he had been waiting for ages, for decades, for the consolation of Israel to come. And when he takes up that little babe in his hand, he rejoices. The waiting is over. And also another waiting, because he said, "Now, Lord, now you can take me to be with yourself." The waiting's over. What a lovely thought. So who is he? Well, what does the scripture say? What did the angel say? He is the Savior, the one who is the deliverer, the one who is going to come to rescue his people from their sins. Those who are shackled by sins, those who are downtrodden by slavery to sin, he is going to come to free them. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 very clearly reminds us of that. Words that the Lord Jesus, the first time he stood up to preach, declared that he had come to deliver those who were captives, those who were downtrodden, those who were downhearted, and to free them from their sin and bring them life once again. The Savior. But he's also the Messiah. In other words, he is the one who is the Christ, the anointed of God. Now, you've heard this many times, but let me remind you again of just who this Messiah is. There are three offices in the Old Testament: prophet, priest, and king. All were anointed. Guess what? Jesus, as the Messiah, is the prophet. What do you read in the Old Testament there in Deuteronomy? That there is going to arise another prophet like Moses who will be greater than Moses. And of course, that was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did the Lord Jesus say? You want to see God? Look at me. Because I am here to reveal God to you. You want to know how gracious God is? See how gracious I am. You want to know how merciful God is? See my mercy. Because in looking to me, you are seeing God. And what did he say? The words that I proclaim to you don't come from myself. They are the words of my Father. Hear him. And what did the Father say? He said to those who heard, "Hear him, hear Jesus, because he is uttering my words." but he's also the priest. The priest had several functions, one of which was to offer the sacrifices in accordance with the Old Testament law. He was also there to intercede on the behalf of the people. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to be, first of all, the sacrifice, to offer himself there on the cross at Calvary for sinners, because he was the perfect Lamb of God, without blemish, without sin, totally righteous, totally perfect. And the Father accepted the sacrifice of his Son on the behalf of sinners and raised him from the dead. And eventually he ascended up into heaven and the Father received him back to himself. But not only that. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is even active now. He is interceding, mediating on behalf of his people. When you and I pray, dear friends, the reason why we pray in the name of Jesus is a reminder to us and also to the Father, that we come to him through and only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his blood and through his merits, not ours. That's why we use his name, not our name. And the wonderful thing is this. Did you know fathers find it very difficult sometimes to resist their sons, don't they? Oh, some of you haven't got there yet. But, you know, this Father, God the Father, can't resist his Son. Do you know why? Because he absolutely loves him. And therefore, when the Son prays on your behalf and my behalf, the Father hears in heaven and grants that which the Son prays on your behalf and my behalf. And we're told this, if you pray anything according to his will, you've got it. Isn't that amazing? Christian, to think that you and I, ungodly souls, can now come to God, having been washed of our sins, can now come to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and ask. He who is the creator of the vastness of the universe and greater than that. And he will say, yes, here you are, my child. What condescension. How utterly amazing that he should so hear and answer your prayers. But not only that, he's also the king. Well, we all know what kings do, except for us, in our society, because it's somewhat different. But in those days, the king was the top. And you did what the king said, or else it was off with your head, or worse. Can there be anything worse? Well, never mind. But you see, his word was law. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to be King of kings and Lord of all lords. And he is the one who now reigns there in the heavens, and the earth is his footstool. And he works out the plans and the purposes of God day by day. He is sovereign and he rules. Sometimes you and I do not see it. Sometimes you and I are not aware of it. But he is there on the throne of God, seated at the right-hand side of the majesty on high, that place of power and authority. He reigns. And he reigns over his spiritual and his eternal kingdom. Christian, he is your king and my king. Now we sung a hymn that spoke about opening our hearts. Are our hearts open to him? Because the answer is this, that if he is our Lord and our Saviour, if he is our King, then we should be submissive to him in all things. Now, Christian, that's not always easy, is it? Because you know, as well as I know, that one of the problems we have is called selfishness. And even as Christians, yes, there are times when self still rises up. That's why we need to constantly examine ourselves. Am I really under God's kingship? Under Christ's kingship? Does he really rule my heart and mind? Am I submissive to him in all things? Sometimes we are doing certain things and maybe we suddenly discover that the word of God says that that which we have been thinking or saying or doing is sinful. Maybe it's a habit. Question is, dear friends, who is king of that habit? Are we the king or is he the king? Because if it is a sinful, unholy habit, then we should deal with it and so submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's also Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us. How utterly amazing that the divine should conceal himself in human flesh, yet without sin. Should humble himself and become the size of a pinhead in the womb of a woman. And then to grow and to be born. And then to grow like you and like I. The creator of the universe became subject to others. What humility for your salvation and for my salvation. This is Jesus. This is the child that was born. And this is the good news that guess what? Jesus is still the Saviour of sinners. That Jesus is still good news. Good news indeed. He is there in heaven, interceding for us. He is there reigning and ruling, even for our good. And one day he's going to come for you and I, dear Christian, in great power and great glory to take us to be with himself. But the question is this: is he your Lord and Saviour? Have you bowed the knee to him? Have you turned from your sin? And have you trusted in Christ to cleanse you and forgive you of all your sins, to make you right before God? Is he the one who has come into your heart and your life? Is he the one who now rules over you and you submit to him? Because, you know, my dear friends, that is the way of blessing. That is the way of peace. But not only that, it's also the way of great joy as well. Great joy? Yeah, this child, his birth, is not only the occasion of great joy, but also the cause of joy as well. Look at the shepherds. They rejoiced. Look at Simeon. He rejoiced. Look at Anna. She rejoiced as well. They just could not be quiet about the Lord Jesus. They rejoiced. The Saviour has come. How wonderful. Yes. It confirmed who God is, it confirmed all that God had said, and it also rewarded their faith as well because they saw him. And so they could be a witness of him. Now here's a little interesting thing. The word great is from the Greek word mega. Now did you know how many youngsters living in our day and age today can speak Greek? You say, oh, what was it like? Oh, it was mega. It was mega. And you scratch the back of your head and you think, hang on a minute, that's not English. It
interesting, isn't it? These youngsters, they do not know the languages that they speak. Interesting way of speaking in tongues, isn't it? Mega. Great. But you know, this gladness, this joy is indeed great. Do you know why? Because it's not just external. That which is external is very often fleeting and doesn't last. But this joy is a great joy that sinks down, right down inside, and is an internal joy that is then seen externally. And you know, my dear friends, it's true today. There is no joy like this joy. It is joy, it is rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who by his death and resurrection has defeated sin. He who has conquered death. He who has defeated the mouth of hell. And he who has crushed the head of the evil one. And so there is rejoicing, rejoicing in Jesus, rejoicing in who he is and what he has done. But there's also great joy when it comes to salvation. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 speaks about that great joy of knowing God as Saviour. And you know, my dear friends, isn't it true, dear Christian? When you came to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and you knew that your sins were forgiven, that you had peace with God, what filled your heart? Peace and joy. Why? Because you were now saved. Saved for time and saved for eternity. Christ was your Saviour. It was wonderful. And it's still there, isn't it? But there is also the joy when it comes to seeing God work in our lives, what we call providences. When we're in particular problems and difficulties and we cry out to God and he hears and he answers and delivers us, what fills your heart? Misery? Of course not. You rejoice. You rejoice at what God has done for you. You rejoice at what Christ has done for you. And when you're reading the Word of God and the Spirit of God lifts something off the pages and smacks you in the eye and, oh, now I know, now I understand. What fills your heart? Joy. Great joy. There's also joy in his presence. Ah, now, dear Christian, when was the last time that as you were quietly praying, you had that sense of the presence of God? Maybe it even caused you to weep. But you wept with joy, knowing that Jesus was your Lord and Saviour, that you were safe in his loving arms, beyond the reach of the evil one and of hell itself. And your soul was filled with joy and that security. Joy, too, when it comes to hearing the gospel proclaimed. You can't help but rejoice. Yes, because it was by the sound of that gospel that I came to know the Lord as Lord and Saviour. Yes, rejoicing when you see souls coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and then going through the waters of baptism. I make no bones about it. Rejoice. That's why it was lovely when we had a little service here, just a very brief service. Some lass who was here, lo and behold, Christmas morning, who had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and then asked to be baptized. And Duncan was the one who baptized her here. And there was joy, great rejoicing over one who had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice. And you know, my dear friends, one day you and I are going to do that precisely there in glory. When we see our Lord Jesus face to face, we shall be filled with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And rejoice. Let me ask you this. Do you know this real joy?
that comes through faith and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, my dear friends, then come and seek the Lord with all your heart and soul and trust in Christ. Now, some of you might say to me, hang on a minute, I don't feel like great joy. Well, I understand that, because when it comes to these dark mornings, I don't feel like getting up. But I get up, because you have to conquer how you feel, don't you? Because they're only feelings, and not fully real. Some of you might say, but hang on a minute, but I suffer with depression, and I don't feel, and I'm not always filled with great joy. Maybe not, dear friends. But let me tell you this. Though you might suffer with depression, and sometimes I do, that's why I never look forward to February. But let me tell you this, that even underneath that depression, there is joy. You say, how come? There is the joy of knowing that Christ is our Lord and our Saviour. The joy of knowing that we are in his hands, even though we might be suffering mentally. That he hears and that he answers prayer. Amen. And there is that deep joy. It might be shallow, but it's there. You know, irrespective of what might be happening, that Jesus is there for you. And that even depression cannot stop Christ from loving you. Even depression cannot stop God from wrapping his arms around you and saying, you are mine. And what a help and encouragement that is. But lastly, and briefly, time's gone. Global spread. We are told that the gospel of this great news is for all people. It's for all. For the Jews first, then for those in Samaria, and then for the Gentiles, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are told it is for tribe, nations, and tongues. We're also told, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, it is for rich and poor, it is for royalty and private citizens. It is for employers and employees. It doesn't matter who you are. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is for all around the globe. It's a global good news. It's a global gospel. And it is for all those who will humble themselves, turn from their sin, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christian, please don't forget this. That the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, is still being effected today. There are those in Ukraine, those of you who are regular members here will have heard me say this before, but there are those in Ukraine who are coming to faith in Christ. There are Jews around the world who are coming to faith in their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is for all ages and all generations. And even in this country, there are still those being saved. They might be the ones and the twos, but the Lord is at work. And he will continue to work until the coming of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And just as the angels, just as the shepherds, just as Anna, declare the good news to those who were prepared to hear. So, dear friends, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to share that good news of great joy to all that we come upon and seek to share with. Friends, in the midst of the gloom, in the midst of the declining moral and spiritual state of our nation and its standards, despite the exclusion by commercialism of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, it has shocked me and appalled me
I've gone shopping more time this Christmas with my wife than ever before, I think. And I'll tell you what, I'm quite happy not to do it in the future. Because what I notice is, piped music in these superstores, they come out with the same jolly music all the time. What happened to Christmas carols? And singing about our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Commercialism says, no, we don't want that. And it's grieved me, really has grieved me. I went into one store that will remain nameless, but some of you know, and I had to get out. I've had enough. Christmas, Christ. Despite that, dear friends, you and I can rejoice. Why? Because Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. He came to save us from our sins. He came to give us new life. He's come to give us eternal life so that one day we might be forever with the Lord. And what joy that is. What good news it is. And that's why, dear friends, you and I in this day and age have that responsibility of sharing it. If you want to know that joy, if you want to know that joy, listen and hear the good news. Jesus came to save you from your sin. And if you will humble yourselves, turn from whatever it is that you're relying upon to get you through day by day, if you turn to Jesus, he will forgive you of your sin. He will come into your heart and into your life. He will change you for time and eternity. And I can tell you this, that from the moment he comes in and changes your heart and life, you will rejoice. You will rejoice in Jesus, and you will bless him for time and eternity that he in his amazing mercy saved such as you. Good news, great joy, global spread. Let's continue to pray for that global spread. Amen.